This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Surprise Stadium in Arizona for Texas Ranger Spring Training. Brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Hopefully, this doesn't come up too much, but I guess it does since we talked about Alejandro Rosario. The injury report brought to you by Rhino Shield. Make sure you check out those confessional videos courtesy of Best Buy Windows and Siding. Corey, we had an opportunity to, man, it's been a busy first day. So we just talked to Wyatt Langford earlier in the clubhouse. We talked with Sebastian Walcott, Kamar Rocker, the first round pick for the Texas Rangers. So I feel like we've gotten a lot done and hopefully people are enjoying these interviews.
Yeah, I'm a bit about to knock out a video with Mike here in just a few minutes too.
What?
Yeah, just, you know, get things started.
I'm videoed
for
out, camp. Man.
No, you're not. You won't be.
You have, pay me money
you have 5 days of videos to get done here. So man, I love it being busy like this on day one. It's a great tone setter for the week, and you know, having Wyatt Langford, man, there's a lot of hope for what he's going to do and provide for this team this year, because if he takes another step from what he finished the season with last year, man, this and the players that we know play at their level, this will be a very exciting season.
Now, do you want to go right now to one of the hottest prospects in all of baseball? Why did that catch your attention, Mike?
No, I'm just thinking of something else. No, this is exciting. Sebastian Walcott's about to come on, but I was also on a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you? If you're on YouTube, since you don't care at all to talk about what we're talking about.
Oh, my God, Mike.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm super hungry for lunch. Where are you at? 1 is like, I'm not even eating lunch. I'm not even hungry.
3.
Yeah, you're not on YouTube.
Okay. Fair enough. With no further ado.
Mickey G, 7.5.
And plenty more non sequiturs, I'm sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Sebastian Walcott.
We're here with Sebastian Walcott right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we were just talking, and we always want to give people insight into spring training. You were talking about going through your ground ball routine. For people who are not familiar, can you walk us through what does that look like for you?
You know, just making sure that your hands are feeling good before practice, just make sure your eyes and hands are working together, and just basically doing picks, like off a machine that it shoots ground balls out of, and you basically watching the ball into the glove multiple times, front hand, back hand, and then you also like imitating like a ground ball that's hit to you in the game. So, you know, that just gets me ready for practice, games, making sure that my eyes and hands are working properly.
What about breakfast routine? How's that usually go?
It all depends on the day. If I have a lift in the morning, I'll probably come a little bit earlier, get the lift in, then probably get some breakfast right after, then start my day.
Are we talking eggs, raisin bran? What are we looking at here?
whatever they got in there. They had French toast in there, so I ate the French toast, and I had some eggs with it as well.
Is that a reward for a good practice, or you get French toast just because?
I think we just got French toast just because, you know. I think that was my first time seeing French toast, but I saw...
Ever?
No.
Okay, but it sounded like for a second you were like, I've never even seen French toast before. Nah, I was like,
in the clubhouse, that was my first time, but... You know, that was my first time seeing French toast in clubhouse, but I saw a lot of players eating pancakes the other day, but...
Okay. We need to talk about something real quick. Can you rank the breakfast breads between the pancake, French toast, and the waffle? Because I think French toast is clearly number one.
No. Waffle.
No?
No, waffle. Waffle's one, pancakes two, French toast three.
What?
I'm with him. I think he's dead on there.
Thought we were bonding. It just kind of all fell apart.
All right, we're good over here.
Now, when you were talking about your routine earlier, I'm kind of curious, are you a tough critic on yourself? Because sometimes, like, that's what it takes to get to that level.
Yeah, I'd definitely say I'm hard. I'm hard on myself when it comes to that type of stuff because, you know, I'm going to try to be as close to perfect in practice because in the game, you're not going to be perfect. You know, the game is very difficult and it's very hard to be successful at it. And so I try to – I push myself to, like, perfection, even though I try to get closer, even though I'm not going to get it. And I think – me doing that like helps me a lot and helps me mentally and physically get prepared for a game.
Do you hear much outside noise? Like, for example, some athletes will be like, oh, I hear everything. It motivates me. Others will be like, no, I don't really care. If you're not in the clubhouse, it's pretty irrelevant.
During games, I don't really pay attention to the noise. Like, fans are going to say what they're going to say, you know. But, you know, it's my job to stay focused on what I can do and on my job. And then trying to help the team win. So I'm just focused on doing that.
All right. So then one of the outside things that we often hear and discuss specifically about you is you're very tall. Like, I don't usually feel short around people. You're a tall shortstop. Has that ever been brought up to you? And, like, is that a discussion? And do you think about that?
My coach just told me, yeah, you know, you're a tall short, so you're just like Corey. And, you know, that's the only people I really listen to because, you know, that those are the people that are going to help me get better and help me stay at shortstop. So other people say I'm a tall shortstop, so you can't stay at shortstop. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm always work towards staying at shortstop and work towards becoming a long-time shortstop like Corey.
Now, one of the things that my co-host said a few years ago when we had Elvis and Beltre on one side of the field was that's too much range on one side of the field. Do you think that's a ridiculous thing to say?
We essentially invented the shift. Like, we essentially helped them figure out the shift.
And then they had to turn it back.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can ever have too much range. That's just better. That's just better for the team because, you know, you have a third base on the short side that can get to any ball. You have a short side that can get to a ball up the middle. You have a short side that can get to the ball in the hole. You have a third base that can cover the line and the 5-6 hole. So I think that's just perfect. You never have too much range on one side of the field. And I think that's why they won gold gloves, because they were able to do that.
Probably so, and that's why I do this. How valuable a resource is Corey Seager? You mentioned it, just to have, like, World Series MVP, somebody we all have a lot of love for.
You know, he's a good guy to watch play. You know, the way he carries himself on the field, the way he does defense, the way he hits, it's truly special because he's one of a kind. And, you know, getting to see him play every day in Major League Camp is pretty good. And, you know, as a tall guy like him, you know, watching him play shortstop, it's pretty motivating because, you know, he's been doing it since he's with the Dodgers, and he's doing it now, like, 10 years later. It's pretty special.
Last thing I got for you, I know you have a terrible French toast opinion, but if you start playing well because you ate French toast in the pregame, then will it shift over and you're like, hey, I'm on a roll with French toast. We got to stick with it.
I'm not that superstitious, okay. But if they keep serving French toast and I keep hitting good, I guess I got to stick with it.
I'm awesome. Just going to go with it. He's going to play well no matter what, Kevin.
Sure.
All right. That's the way I'm going to rock.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. There you go, Sebastian Walcott right here on 105.3 The Fan. Did you enjoy that, Mike?
That's great.
Or were you too busy thinking about lunch?
I put an 8 on YouTube.
Okay.
I at least got him to start paying attention to our show, which was awesome. I think I did a good job there, as 474 people are watching right now on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Were you surprised how big he was in person?
Not really, just because I feel like... Because this is the first time I've stood, like, you know, 2 feet from him. I've seen him up close, but...
that's all of the talk about how he's so big for a shortstop. So I can't say I was really that surprised, but he is a giant human being.
One of the things that, like, when I saw him initially, I was like, man, he has a lot of room for his body to fill in still. Whenever we saw him.
Yeah. He turns 19 in, what, a week or two?
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
But at the same time, he already looked pretty big for his height and his age, and now he looks like he's starting to fill in, and you're starting to go, oh, man, when he gets in that major league program, like, that's just going to be even better for him. So the power is going to come along with it. I'm interested to see how he continues to play and grow at that position, too, because, you know, as he said, he loves to watch Corey Seager do his thing, so learning from him is probably going to be good for him.
I would say 2 years from now, if you're looking at the Rangers, you would say shortstop will probably be available. I don't think Corey Seager in 2027 will be a shortstop. I mean, that would be my guess. First base is an open position. There's not a stud in the minor leagues, and there's not a guy on a long-term contract.
Yeah.
I get Jake Berger is going to play there some, but that's a person who could go to DH or whatever. And then if you look at the future 2 years from now, you would say right field is a possibility of being available because Adolis has this year,
and then next
you have one more arbitration year with him to keep him. So those are kind of the spots to look at Walcott. I don't think he'll be in the major leagues this year.
But the fact that, like, you even have to put the caveat of think instead of he won't be in the major leagues is pretty incredible for
him. Well, he could do an Evan Carter deal where Evan Carter, now he was 20. I mean, that was very young for Double A to start off the 2023 season. They weren't looking at Evan Carter as a major leaguer in 23, but he was playing so well. And then the Rangers ran into injuries and they couldn't hit in August. And then Adolis Garcia got hurt at a play at the wall. And then in a weird way, thank God he did.
Because then you got to discover.
You were not going to win in the playoffs without Evan Carter.
Yeah. I thought it was a really fun conversation with Sebastian Walcott. And so I know in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Kamar Rocker. I wanted to switch it up and throw it a little bit more football real quick, if we can. The guys for the morning show are going to be headed out to the Combine later this week. So we're going to have folks in Indianapolis. We're going to be here at spring training along with G-Bag Nation. We're all over the place.
Heck yeah.
Is there... I was going to throw out a couple.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Options, maybe how much you're tracking this during the combine, because a lot of off-season stuff takes place during the combine. It's not just about the draft. Like, you know, Steven's already talked about conversation with Osa's agent and hopefully Micah's agent. We'll get to that a little bit later. What's the plan for improving the offensive line? Considering how cash-strapped the franchise is, do you think they're immediately like, all right, well, we're going to lean even more on, like, Hoffman and draft as well?
Well, I mean, it did sound like, based on hearing the offensive line coach talk about it, he's very high on Tyler Smith. Obviously, okay. You would be, you know, yeah. Having a guy... Is he, what, 23 years old? Having a guy that young, being an all-pro, you're going to say... We're going to put our stake there and say we build everything else out from there. Guyton, he loved him and said he's still very raw. And that was the thing sure. We discussed even before his rookie season. But, like, this is a coach. It's like, I cannot wait to get, like, start molding this guy and start really working. Nobody really enjoyed, I guess, what the offensive line coach had to provide for last year. And it didn't feel like they developed much. But I do feel like it's going to be, you know, I have a lot of confidence in BB at center this year. I feel very comfortable him next to Tyler Smith. I'm interested to see where Steele lands on this thing, which version of him we're going to have. Because, again, we've had good, bad, good, and then he kind of got better, bad, and then better at the end of the season. Which version is he going to be? But Hoffman has the personality.
Oh, yeah.
Now, will he get you an extra 15 yards occasionally? That's a possibility, and you can't have that, especially on offense. They've already shot themselves in the foot too many times.
That's true.
So I think this is one of those opportunities to draft and develop. If I'm doing it personally, I don't feel like I have to go get a starting offensive whatever this offseason. If it's there in my lap, I'll grab one. Or if there's a veteran in free agency that's going to help you from day one, then you can do that. That's how I feel about the offensive line at the moment, though. But this is a good opportunity, as you said, Kevin, at the combine. It is. You're standing there, and you look around, you start seeing head coaches from every team.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing him talk to this guy, and you're like, hold on, I need to go talk to him. And you start getting more ideas about what could possibly happen. Kind of like if you were to hang out with Rob Pelinka and start asking questions about, you know, something like that.
Okay.
This is a really good opportunity for them to all be around each other and see that and then start getting, you know, building this idea out. But the offensive line, I think it's going to be a lot of the same faces from last year. Not a lot of difference, but there's going to be some development to grow with.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, as we move into the expressway, we will talk with Kamar Rocker. We'll talk a little bit more about that Alejandro Rosario injury and how February, March, and April are the most dangerous months for pitchers. Plus, Mike likes it. It is a jam-packed expressway. It's next on the Fan. Nothing.
It's the pitch, cut on the miss by Barrios, the fourth strikeout for Alejandro Rosario.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Honestly, I really thought that broadcaster was going to say something else, so that's on me.
I did too, I'll be honest.
I'm sorry, Alec. I promise I was listening and paying attention. I just really thought he was going to say something else. All right, we're going to talk with Kamar Rocker in just a few minutes, but we get the... I mean... Look, it just sucks for any pitcher. But, Mike, I know we've talked about it. Is it feels more and more like you're in a culture of those who have not had Tommy John and those who have, and it just feels inevitable that you'll eventually fall into category number two. But Alejandro Rosario, the second-best pitching prospect in the Rangers organization behind rocker. He's expected to undergo season-ending elbow surgery, which will put him not only out for the rest of the year, but we've talked about it, is especially with that UCL, it trends more towards like maybe 14, maybe 16 months. And so now you're like, okay, well, you're going to be into the 2026 season. And this is for somebody who they still have to work their way all the way up. So you're losing a very valuable year of development.
Yes, I agree with everything you said. I'm just going to throw out this scenario. You'd rather him never have surgery and stay healthy the rest of his career. But wouldn't you rather him get it now? And so, because just think if he would have, let's just say in 2026, I know I'm jumping another year.
Yeah.
He gets called up in May and he has three starts and he's contributing and you're like, hey, this kid can pitch. And then in his fourth start, he blows out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is just now part of the development that he's going to have to go through. He's going to have to miss this season. Next year, he'll probably start pitching, let's say, competitively in May.
Yeah.
And then you have to watch his innings and he'll get, let's say, 80 innings if everything goes well, or maybe up to 100 in 2026. And everything gets back on track on where you saw him. So then when he's ready to pitch in, let's hopefully say 2027 at some point in the majors. I know this sounds crazy, but you don't have to worry about his arm going out on him for the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you could have a Cole Reagan situation. You get it. He came back, and within months, he had to have a second Tommy John surgery.
So he mowed through, in case you're wondering, because we've talked about this guy a few different times. He was in single A down east and high A in Hickory. So I realize we still got a ways to go, but he had a 2.24 ERA. And consider this, in 88 and a third innings, he had 129 strikeouts and 13 walks.
Yeah.
His strikeout to walk ratio was 10 to 1. And so now I'm curious if they'll start him back down at high A, or they'll just, and they'll maybe fast track him into Frisco if he looks good coming off the injury. But it sucks because we talked about you're going to need cheaper pitching. You're going to need affordable pitching. And this is somebody who you've lost a year plus with.
I guess one of the good things when you're rehabbing a pitcher from Tommy John in your minor league facilities, the Rangers don't have a team in Buffalo or Akron. Like, that was always a big deal in the Cleveland organization that I was coming up with, is like, hey, we need to keep you in Florida. Because of how cold it is.
Yeah.
So we don't want, it's not good on your arm to be throwing in 30 to 40 degree weather. So they would just keep you in spring training. And then when you're really ready to go, and they're hoping at that point it's warmed up on the East Coast or Northeast Coast.
Yeah.
So the Rangers do have that going for them. And like, hey, if we send you, whether it's to Frisco or to Round Rock, or I guess let's say to Kinston or Hickory, usually those places are going to have good weather by May.
Okay. It's just interesting. It sucks that he's going through this injury, but to your point, Mike, that might just be the pitching world that we live in, and perhaps...
Yeah, it is. Like, every 5 years, you're like, all right, he's going to blow out here soon.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. But right now, let's talk with somebody who, obviously, they've been through plenty of injuries on their road back to the big leagues. We're all excited. The number one pitching prospect in the Rangers organization. Let's talk with Kamar Rocker.
We got Kamar Rocker here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You like to pitch baseballs, huh?
love pitching. Yeah.
Now, it was
how different would this interview go if he was like,
really? It would have changed everything immediately. Now, I think it was during COVID I'd seen you, and I was like, this guy right here, I want him to be a Texas Ranger. So I've been on the Rocker wagon for a long time now.
I can confirm that. I've been obsessed with you being on this team for about 5 years because of him. He goes, dude, just don't even look at anybody else. And I was like, okay, that feels like bad scouting, but all right.
So what is that, like, the transition from what you experienced last year to kind of what you're expecting this year?
It's something to build off from last year, and kind of putting it to the test again, putting the routine, putting the work habits together again, and just over a longer period of time.
When you talk about putting it to the test, is that, I mean, I know physically, but how much of it is mental as well?
A lot of it. We all know the famous quote, but just finding a way to make each day kind of easier in a way, and just knowing your body, knowing the time it takes, and then knowing it's going to be a long year.
So last year, I'm talking to Chris Young after, I believe, your start in Seattle, and I was really impressed with how calm you were on the mound. Is there anything, let's say when chaos is happening, second and third, one out, or something like that, is there any self-talk you do to yourself or breathing technique to stay in just kind of a calm state?
Nothing specific I can go to, but I try to play the game. You know, at the end of the day, it's a game, and it's got to be played. It's entertaining, and it's going to go one way or another.
With that in mind, do you take it easy on yourself, or do you feel like you're tough on yourself?
I would definitely say I'm tough on myself. I've learned to be less, like, handle it off the field when I go home and stuff like that. But, like, every day I come to the field with an expectation and try not to be too hard on myself.
Do you take the time to also appreciate your successes? Like, I know you're not going to, like, hey, let's have a party for me, but do you appreciate that as it's going along?
I think I do. I think there's times it shows up, and all you can do is smile and be happy about it, and you got to wake up and do it the next day.
Now, my co-host, when he was pitching, Charlie Huff was one of his pitching coaches, and we were talking to him, and he said, look, Mike, you didn't have a lot of velocity.
Do you know who Charlie Huff is?
He was a former knuckleballer.
He was like a major leaguer for 20 years through knuckleballs.
That was the smirk on his face. I get it now. But he was like, you didn't have a lot of velocity. You weren't really great at all these things, but you looked like a pitcher on the mound. Right. And when you're on the mound, like, you look intimidating. Was there a pitcher that you were like, I want to look like him whenever I grow up?
I grew up watching Pedro, and then obviously we're Texas Rangers fans, Josh Hamilton, but the way Pedro pitched, CeCe, guys like that, like, those are the ones I grew up and just envied over.
Is there a specific, like, the presence? Do you work on a presence, or is it just a natural thing?
I think you see it with some guys, and just, for instance, like, Leiter. Like, the way he throws his fastball, it's on a rope. The way Pedro throws his fastball, it's on a rope. Like, certain guys got certain hop to certain things.
Do you think if an old man from the opposing team charged at you, you'd be able to throw him to the ground?
Depends the situation, but I hope to think not that way.
Is there a certain guy that you're hoping to face this year in the major leagues and strike out?
Oh, man. There's a couple on the plate. I don't want to jinx myself, but I got them posted.
We talked with Sebastian Walcott earlier, and he had what I think is the outrageous breakfast bread opinion that French toast is the last behind waffles and pancakes. How do you fall on that?
I'm not a big French toast guy, but dear, I can say I think my mom makes the best pancakes. It's almost like a crepe, so I roll that way.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Was that an all-time growing up thing? Or
always. Like, pancake day was a big day on the house. You get bacon with it and some nice eggs.
What's the topping? Is it like, did you get
I'm syrup and butter. Nothing crazy. No fruit for me. Yeah, no fruit
for
me.
Do you feel like you get judgment for that? Because I'm like that, too. And I feel like I get judged for that.
I mean, I grew up eating, like, boring food to begin with. I'm just now kind of adding onions, lettuce, and things like that. Like, it started slow, you know what I mean?
Did you say you're hiding onions, like, in your own food?
Adding.
Okay, I thought he was, because, like, Mike hides onions and stuff in his food for his,
like,
kids.
That SpongeBob episode.
Yes, so we had an incident here years ago where our boss made this amazing nacho spread, and then he dropped onions all over it, and I just walked to the fridge and started making a sandwich, and I felt really bad because my boss, I'm not going to be like, I'm not eating this crap.
That's hilarious. It was good till it wasn't. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, hey, man, we really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Kevin, I missed out. We should have asked him, hey, all right, Boach brings you a huge plate of nachos.
Sure.
And he's got all the funny stuff on it. And are you going to say no to Boach, or are you going to say, you know what, I'm taking one for the team?
Dang it, that's my fault.
He sounds like a confident young man.
I believe
he will pass.
Did, like, you got that vibe from
just
standing there talking to him? He has a lot of presence.
He does.
He's very focused on what he wants to do, man. Mike, I'm really excited for Rocker this year. Hoping that he can grow into a rotational spot. I'm hoping he can grow into a really good, a high rotational spot by the end of this year. I think he can.
Do you think he'll be on the team on March 27th?
Yes.
I do not.
I do.
I hope. But
I think if everything goes well, I know this is going to sound weird, because he has options and because they might have to limit his innings.
Yeah.
I think they might start him in AAA. Now, all it takes is an injury, which is probably going to happen, and hopefully it's not to him. And then I do think he has a chance there, but I look at the team and I go, and then I look at the innings, and I just wonder if, I think he's going to get plenty of starts with the Rangers. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to make 20 starts at least for the Rangers this year, but, and I hope he makes the team too. He's exciting. he's one of those guys that I think right now Ranger fans want to see when they say Kamar Rocker is starting this game. Like, this is – I hate saying this, but I love Cody Bradford. But I think to a Ranger fan, it's more important to be like, Rocker starting?
Yeah.
Bradford's like, okay, I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a really solid start. Rocker, I might see something special.
Yeah.
Now, you just brought this up. I don't know if you have this article handy. We were talking about it more off air about how – spring training and the first month of the regular season is actually the most dangerous time for pitching injuries.
So it was 2 weeks ago, I believe, I had to miss like Thursday and Friday, kind of the second half of the show. I had meetings that I had to go to for the Rangers and broadcasting. And in one of the meetings where everybody's getting, it's funny that the media is getting more and more of what that meeting was about, whether it's, you know, they're starting to bring these things out. Well, one of the things that I haven't seen yet, and I'm going to be honest, I've been in Austin and stuff, I haven't been looking at a lot of media stuff, is Tommy John surgeries or major injuries happen a lot more in spring training and in the month of April. If you can get your pitchers out of spring training and then somewhat through the month of April healthy, it seems like your risk of Tommy John surgery or a major elbow injury go way down. They don't go away, but they go way down. So the majority of your major injuries, we were talking about it earlier with the Rangers, is you have to watch for the elbow blowout in spring training and early in the season. And if you can get through April, there's a good chance that that pitcher, even though they might have injuries that happen during the season, it won't be a major injury.
So after you said that, I started reflecting and I was like, man, my gut feeling matches up with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like we've been through this plenty of time where you're like, oh, no, in spring training in the first month of the season. So that's really interesting information to know.
You know, when I asked you earlier, I was like, well, what do they attribute that to? And you said they don't know.
Right. They'd fix it if they knew, but they have theories, but they can't really say, well, this theory's right or this theory's wrong, because different pitchers, different types of pitchers, whether they're older, younger, they're blowing out and they're trying to figure out, is there a way to stop this? And right now the answer is we have no clue how to stop it.
It's my theory, Kevin, is, and I was just reading about working out again after being sick.
Okay.
And they're like, look, man, you've been sick for 2 weeks. You're just like a couch potato trying to work out for the first time. Now, I know these guys pick up baseballs in the off season, but it does seem like, hey, man, now I'm going to try a little bit harder to do something that maybe they're not prepared for a lot of times. But that makes a lot of sense, though, that once you get into the regular season, your routine's built. You have a lot of things that are routine for you, and you're maybe not pushing it as much. But that's interesting.
I was talking to the Rangers at the end of last year and asking, what do you do with DeGrom and Rocker? They didn't pitch much. It was great. They pitched in September, and they said, well, their philosophy, and I don't know all teams, but I'm going to assume they're not doing something way different. They don't stop throwing now. So the season ends and they're like, well, maybe they'll take 2 weeks off of throwing, but we want them to keep throwing. Now, at a level that you want them seeing how hard they can throw a baseball in October or November, no, but they want guys now to somewhat throw year round. But at percentages. What I mean by that is we're not going to go 100% in October or November, but we are going to keep throwing. We might keep working off the mound on mechanics and balances and everything like that. So it's interesting because they're like, look, some people blow out because they're like, look, if I'm not throwing the ball 97 or 98 this spring training because they said you got to throw harder and you can't do steroids anymore to help that process.
Right.
I mean, you can, but you're going to get tested, and there's a good chance you'd get caught. So guys will do a lot of heavy ball work, and they'll do a lot of things that they know that, or they'll go to these facilities where it's proven they can maybe add 2 to 3 miles an hour to your fastball. The issue is you are now taking a much bigger risk on injury by trying in a 2 to 3 month period to add 2 to 3 miles an hour to your fastball. So they're like, well, that could be a cause. Is guys are doing these crazy workouts and very strenuous throwing programs to try to get to spring training and impress. And so, you were throwing 93, 94. Now you showed up to spring training and you're throwing 96, 97. That's a jump.
Yeah.
How did we do this? And then that can blow you out, though, because you are putting your body to a maximum stress level in November and December to prepare for February, or you do get possibly, hey, I just play catch. I'm not doing anything crazy. And I get here and I start throwing at a maximum speed or trying to, and my elbow blows out that way. And so, you know, they're like, it's different for different people on why they're blowing out, but they're like, everybody's trying to throw the ball 100 miles an hour and doing everything possible to do it. And that's the major reason, but there's different ways to get to that reason.
Just get them to opening day, Kevin.
I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Rocker and DeGrom mm-hmm. in 23, right? They both blew out in April. And then you look at Rosario this time, spring training. You look at last year, Spencer Strider, a Cy Young candidate. He blows out in April. So you just start looking at guys, and you find last year, wasn't it Garrett Cole early on in camp had a major scare?
Oh,
and they're like, he might be done for the year, and they had to shut him down till June or July.
Good decision.
So,
except that they lost the World Series.
Well, you know. That wasn't a perfect decision. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live in Surprise for Texas Rangers spring training. Obviously, want to thank ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, for helping make that happen. Plus, remember, thank you to the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. And now, it's time for Mike Likes It.
All right, so you guys were asking Walcott about breakfast.
Yes.
And the major debate of pancakes, waffles, and French toast. We've gone over that plenty on where we stand, where other people stand on it. Very different opinions, and honestly,
sure.
I don't think there's a wrong opinion. I think all three are great, sure. You know, very sugary products.
I disagree, but that's fine.
Which one do you dislike?
Oh, no, I just disagree that you can't be wrong about it. I think Kevin's definitely
wrong. Oh, you can be wrong about it.
But it's okay. I still like you as a friend.
Kevin is not going to like this conversation, okay? But I'm hoping you can join me on this conversation. I don't know your thought on this product. What's your thought on Benedict's?
Eggs Benedict?
Yeah.
Man.
Traitors.
It's, they're difficult to make.
Yeah. Definitely something to order out because they're going to do it most likely better than you.
Yeah.
Because of the hollandaise.
The hollandaise sauce is tough to make too because you kind of have to keep that in a boiling water pot and keep stirring it the whole time. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Okay. I had it for the first time in New Orleans years ago.
Okay.
And that's whenever I came back home and was like, I got to learn how to make this.
So Saturday, me and my wife went to a place in Austin. I get most people listening are going to be in Dallas-Fort Worth, but I bet a lot of people visit Austin.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend maybe the best breakfast I've ever had.
Okay.
It's called Arturo's Underground Cafe. It only has, I believe I counted, it has 11 tables and then a couple other areas to sit, but it is a small place in Austin.
Is it underground? Is it like
a little bit? Yes.
Okay, right.
So you're looking at a picture. It is like you have to walk down to go to your tables. But my wife had the Austin Benedict, which is avocado, crispy bacon, and chipotle hollandaise.
Oh,
with your egg on top. I had the Alamo, which is spicy sausage, pico de gallo, cheddar, and chipotle hollandaise. It was one of the best breakfasts I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Now, because we were
going to remember it,
we were on vacation, we also ordered some French toast with it, too.
Okay.
And the French toast was amazing. But if you are a fan of Eggs Benedict and want something different, they have about six or seven different ones. Arturo's Underground Cafe in Austin. Now, I also will say this. My daughter works there on the weekend. She's a waitress.
Oh.
That's why we went there.
Okay.
I don't think it's a place that many people are going to know about. It's I want to say near the Capitol.
Okay.
So it's kind of downtown near the Capitol. Very small place, but it is arguably the best breakfast I've ever had. And if you like Eggs Benedict, it might be the best Eggs Benedict you'll ever have.
Did your daughter give you recommendations then?
She just said you have to have the Benedicts. That's what they're kind of known for.
Okay.
And they have different ones. But that is a place, if you're ever visiting Austin, Tolo's, and you're looking for a good breakfast or brunch place, I can definitely recommend that place for your Eggs Benedict, and maybe for their French toast was amazing too.
Can I ask you a food question?
Go.
All right, I'm noticing on the signs out here, they have Lou Malnati's.
I just saw that. You mentioned it minutes ago.
Phoenix, how do you feel, Mike, about the super deep dish pizza, and is that something you would engage in this week?
I like it.
Okay.
Will I say I love it? I won't say I love it. I like it. But when you go to Lou Malnati's in Chicago or a deep dish place, they tell you it's going to be a 45-minute process.
Absolutely. So we wouldn't go after the show today because you would murder somebody.
No, but a lot of times you almost call in. Like, if you're going to, like, when you get there, or you have to have a reservation a lot of the times, and they're like, we want to know your order before you even get here because we're going to seat you. We're not going to just throw the pizza down as soon as you sit down. But it's going to be a 45-minute to an hour process to make a deep dish pizza. So they need to know your order well in advance. If not, they're going to tell you it's going to be, by the time you tell me what you want, it's going to be approximately an hour before we bring this pizza out to you.
I have never had a true deep dish. The only one I've ever had was like a frozen one. Okay. I got it at Tom Thumb. So I've never had a true deep dish pizza before, and that's the place.
That's right? my favorite.
That's the place.
A pizza place in Chicago.
And most Chicago people will say no because it's too commercialized.
I do think
it's very good. I had it. I have not gone to seven different Chicago places, especially the local ones who do their own deep dish. But I do think it's good. I think you would like it. I would say it's like lasagna without the layers of noodles.
And ricotta? No, there's no ricotta?
No, it's pizza.
I'm good.
It's a lot of cheese.
A lot of cheese.
It's not as much
crust as you might think.
Right, because it's like the side, right? Yeah. That's where you're going to get your crust is the side.
A little tower of crust there. We usually do a special dinner with the station. Maybe we can talk them into that being the place.
Oh, I would love that.
Maybe that could be the place for us because I would like to try it out for sure. We always go to that one fireplace all the time. So we're that guy, the Nolan Ryan guy, the waiter that you love so much.
So here's what I don't know. I feel like if you get a deep dish pizza, Kevin, you can't just do pepperoni because there's just too much layer to it. So what, because we got the one with, let's say, peppers and onions and mushrooms and sausage and like whatever the loaded one is somewhat.
And so
what are you doing with deep dish with the limited?
So I essentially do the same thing, but with just the meats toppings.
So like sausage
and bacon and pepperoni.
Okay.
And I will tell you this, if you just want to experience it, I don't think going just cheese is a bad idea. Now, it's going to be different, but if you just want to try it out. But yeah, I like the meat lovers.
If you like pizza and you like Italian food, there's no way you're not going to like it. When people say, oh, I don't like it. Well, it's just really thick.
Thin crust pizza better, but
I like thin crust pizza better. If you're making me choose the rest of my life, you can only have deep dish or let's say New York style. I'll choose New York style over this. But I do think you should experience it because it is a different way to eat lasagna pizza. It's almost like a combination, but with no pasta.
Yeah. Corey asked if you use knife and fork, and I said, I do not, but a lot of people will.
Yeah.
Oh, is it, the other thing I have
the other thing, too, is when you don't, you've got to really use your teeth well because you'll get such stringy cheese.
That's true.
Oh, man, have you ever had a piece of cheese, like, go down your throat and the string's still hanging out?
Well, sounds like Steve Smith might have.
Okay. I did not get that text from Steve Smith, no.
I did have a question, though, about this. As soon as it sits down on the table, do you need to like let it sit for a while, or is it like because is it going to incinerate your mouth?
No. It's not necessarily going to incinerate your mouth, but make sure you don't go a route of a normal pizza place where maybe you'll grab like two or three slices or whatever.
Just
take the one.
Okay.
See how it goes for you.
I know I'm running out of time here, and this is my fifth to last. Mike likes it.
You don't say.
I'm super surprised as I was walking here. I was like, I'm surprised I didn't get fired from this job. Like,
me too.
Now, there's still time.
If I get fired,
I get fired. I think they have to give me 6 weeks of severance if they fire me.
Still not sure if I think that's accurate.
I think they just sever you.
Yeah, they probably do, honestly. That's where we're at. But when it comes to me not getting fired, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like super surprised you didn't get fired doing this job, and 1 being like, no, I knew you'd always make it to the end of your time, whatever time Ooh. You had in mind. What's your number, since we asked Wyatt Langford 7.5 on the interview?
But remember, he said maybe an 8.
Yeah, maybe an 8. Where are you at with Mike was going to get fired from this job, but he actually didn't?
I'm at an 8. There were multiple times that I thought you had gotten to the point, maybe our bosses had gotten to the point where there was no room for budge, and I was like, somebody's going to do something that's just going to make this thing explode. So I'm proud of you for almost making it.
I did it.
50. Or last Wednesday is when I thought you were going to get fired.
Really? What did I do?
Well, remember you did an hour with Sean and RJ where you didn't do the hour. You kept dipping in and out and jumping back in and like... Yeah, throwing these non sequiturs at them.
It. I definitely heard about it. I'm at a 50 with you.
You thought for sure I'd get fired.
Yeah, I definitely thought. Like, there was a 2-week period where you went missing. I know this is opening a pulling back the curtain a lot right now, but you just went missing, and I was like, oh, crap, he's going to get fired. You didn't. It all worked out. It worked itself out. I know you and I didn't. We had to work some things out between ourselves early on and things, and I'm glad we did because I think the show got a lot better after that. So, but yeah, man, I'm like, you're a wild card. Every show needs a wild card, and you've been it.
Behind the scenes, as I'm just going to give you like little nuggets every day with this, I do think there were a couple times where I'll just say the company, just to be nice, they tried to get me to quit. Like, I think multiple times were like,
oh, man.
Please
you still have
quit.
5 days, Mike. Yeah.
No, well, this is just letting people behind the scenes.
Okay.
But I think they were surprised I didn't quit when they tried to get me to quit. And I got out of that room without quitting, and they're like, damn it.
There might have been a time or two where I was also surprised that you didn't quit, just because we have so many other conversations. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So that's Mike Likes It. 4 more to go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Don't you think that's fun for the listener? Listener, text in on YouTube. Aren't you guys happy when we tell you stories like this?
Okay, I just want to make it very clear for the record. I am not as worried about that. I hope that the listener did think that was very entertaining.
All right, thanks, Lloyd.
Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
I want to talk about some exciting draft guys at the Combine, but also there's a lot more to dive into out here, especially Ovechkin's hat trick next on the Fan. Mm.